Good evening. This is the NLA Hams Net. I'm Terry from Colorado. My call sign is KI0RE, and I usually conduct the net. And I'm speaking to you from beautiful Colorado, beautiful downtown Longmont, though I'm not downtown at the moment. This net is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, just for your time zone. And we talk about everything Hamish and NLA-ish. And I want to encourage everybody to study their ham license and get their ham license and progress. And if this can be helpful to you, great. This is an open net. Anybody can talk at any time. And I would certainly welcome any comments, criticisms, suggestions, or whatever you need to get off your chest. I invite everybody to comment. I invite everybody to participate, and I love to hear your participation. So without further ado, we've been going through the ARRL Ham Radio License Manual, third edition for technician, level one. And this book is good through June 30th, 2018, because that's when they redo the test. They do the test about every 3 years. In the back of the book, we've managed to work our way back to the back of the book on page one of choosing a ham radio. It's after the question. So they assume in the back of the book, there's this question pool, and it's all the questions that are in the current pool. You will not have a question on your test that didn't come out of that pool. So you can look in the book and get all the answers to all the questions. And I highly encourage you to do so. I also encourage you to get hooked up with your local ham club. You can go to ARRL.org, www.ARRL.org, enter clubs in the search. And then it'll ask you where you live. You put in where you live, and it'll give you all the ham clubs around you. That's an excellent way to get somewhere. Anyway, do we have any questions right off the top? Okay, just chime in whenever you get ready. This was kind of an afterthought, and then they said, well, this is pretty good. It was the lead author was Ward Silver, N0AX, and the co-authors were Greg Winden, Wyden, K0GW, and David Haycock, KI6AWR. And it talks about the publication and everything, and your best mentions that the clubs are the best resources. And what this publication is not, it's not a buyer's guide. We're not trying to set up nice little things about why this ham radio and why that ham radio. It's good to get an Elmer, and I've talked about that before. And you get an Elmer, and an Elmer is somebody who mentors a new ham operator. There's also a choosing a ham radio website. It's not possible to give everything here, so www.arrl.org/buying-your-first-radio. Easy. It's referenced on a web page for new hams called www.arrl.org/get-on-the-air. So the ARR website, ARRL.org, buy your first radio, and ARRL, get on the air. Does anybody need a repeat? You can get in to ham radio for almost nothing. A few electronic parts, and you can be on the air. And I want you to remember that there's two phases. And as a matter of fact, this guide that I was going to kind of run through really fast, you won't get everything listening to this. If you have the book and you've noticed, like Dan has, I don't cover every single item that's in the book. I do my best, but some stuff I've talked about before, and some stuff you don't really need it. You can get along without it, but it's in the book because they want to cover everything. If you're new to ham radio, it talks about a primer in there. A Hamway is a primer. Your first radio web page list is a preceding paragraph. That's what I just read to you. Are you ready? Finally, savor the experience. You'll buy another first radio. You'll never buy another first radio. There's two aspects of this, and we've kind of gone over this before. One aspect is that are we talking VHF, UHF, or are we talking HF? HF goes further just by the propagation of the waves. You can talk all the way around the world with HF if you have the right equipment. You got to have enough power. The other guy has to be able to hear you, and you have to be able to hear the other guy. But the radio waves can bounce up and down through the troposphere, the ionosphere, and go all the way around the world. You can actually, if the conditions are right, hear yourself talking on the backside of your antenna. HF is good for that. I'm sorry, was that a question? HF is good for something like that. But you also have another aspect, and that is VHF and UHF are great when you have a smaller area that you want to cover, like a city or a town. A lot of ham radio clubs in Boulder County, there must be one, two, three, four, five, there's about six clubs, and they serve different areas in the county. But almost every one of them has a repeater up on a hill somewhere, and they use that repeater because it's placed there for them to use. They get the money, they get the expertise, they help one guy who usually has the expertise they need, puts the repeater up and then puts it in service after it's been coordinated. And then they use that because that has the best coverage for their area. Here in Bark, the Bark repeater on 14670 is legendary. The VHF Society repeater in 146.76 is also legendary. And then there's lots of them after that. You want to get attached to a club so that you can use their repeater. You don't have to be a member of the club to use most repeaters. Some you do, but it just all depends on what rules they're using for their repeater. If you got an emergency, you can use any repeater that you need to use. But even if you don't have a repeater, over a limited area, you can talk. It might be a mile, it might be 10 miles. Depends upon your equipment and what the propagation situation is. So, there's two aspects, the VHF, the UHF, which is very popular, and then the HF, which is also popular, but it goes for longer distances. So what would you normally need on a committee of safety? So think about a committee of safety. What would you need for a committee of safety? And anybody can perk up and answer my questions. I would think that you would want a way to call everybody on the repeater so that everybody would be aware of any situation that needed to be handled. And so you might have some way of getting hold of everybody at once. A repeater is very good for that because one person talks and everybody else listens. If they have questions, they can talk back through the repeater when you ask for questions. That's what we started out doing with this net in the beginning. You can look at some of the earlier recordings, and that's exactly what we did. We waited for questions. So, and you could go point to point. I want to talk to this particular person. I want to talk to the president of the COS committee, Committee of Safety, because I have a piece of information I think needs to get to them. But all the phones are down or all the whatever is down. I pick up my ham radio. I call them. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they're not. It's always good to have somebody listening. And then I pass the information. I'm done. Maybe the person, the president of the committee, has something for me to go and do. I don't know. But you can see that you can stay in touch with your committee members, and anybody who wants can listen in and know what's going on. There's no better way to instill confidence in the people that you have in your committee and the people you're serving in your area than to let it be open, that all your communications are open and they can all hear and ask questions. So it makes good sense. Now, what about the other side? Maybe you got somebody that can connect and talk to the people in the next county because they live right on the border of the counties. I don't know how many people have a county line road, but they're all over the nation. I found them in just about every town I've ever been in. Maybe some of the rural counties don't always have a road that runs down right down the county line, but we do here between Boulder County and Weld County and Boulder County and Jefferson County, Boulder County and Larimer County. These are all counties right here. Well, sometimes I got to talk to them. Well, do I know their repeaters and what they're operating on? Well, as I buy a first radio, I want to get a radio that I know I can communicate with them. Or I want everybody to have the same channels so it's easy. I want to have a bunch of radios ready that I can put in their hands in case the government shuts down or the government can't handle a national disaster. They can't be everywhere. I think we saw how everything got stressed when we had Hurricane Harvey this year. And that and Irma kind of wiped out Houston. So all the stuff went to Houston. Well, then came, Marie that went up across Puerto Rico. I looked last night. I was at a presentation by a geologist who works here at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, Bob Reynolds. And he showed a picture taken at night of Puerto Rico. The whole thing's lit up. Virtually the entire island is lit up with lights, just street lights and things like that. And then he showed one after the hurricane went through. It was just taken a few weeks ago. And there's a little bit around San Juan, and there's a little bit around whatever the other town is. I don't remember right now. And the rest of the island was virtually black. And that was just one hurricane. What else is waiting for us? Are we prepared? Do we need communications? And I think, to me, the answer is obvious. Yes, the more communications you have, the more effective you can be at what you're doing. And our whole purpose out here is to take care of one another and ensure that our rights are preserved. And when the government's going to, you know, the government can't be everywhere all the time. And if they're not here, then we need a committee of safety really bad. And you can't wait until that happens to go and prepare for that. So, do I have any questions so far? Okay. What would you use the HF side for? That we talked about the VHF and the UHF. What would you use the HF side for? Well, what if I want to know what's going on in a county that's 100 miles away? Or if I want to know what's going on in the state right next to me? Or what if, to keep, because communications are down, what if Washington, D.C. is only using HF because the TV is out? Everything's out except radios that were protected. Wouldn't it be nice to have an HF receiver that I could listen to on the radio? Kind of take it about a 100-year step backwards. But that's exactly how our ancestors lived, or maybe even our, not way back ancestors, but our grandfather, our great-grandfather, or great-grandmother, great, or just grandmother. They listened to the radio. Remember the fireside chats? Maybe you've heard about those. That was in late 30s, early 40s. The period that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. He's the one who had them. And every week he would give a little thing about what was happening and what needed to happen and what steps he was taking. Look how effective that was at calming the country. Not saying it's perfect, but it was something. So are we ready to reestablish communication like that? And could it be that one person could receive it and send it out to a whole bunch of people at once? I have an FM transmitter right there sitting on my shelf. I could send it out over FM. Maybe I could service a bunch of people, but if it killed my AM radio and it killed my FM radio, I don't have that hardened. It's probably going to go too. One EMP could just wipe out the entire communications and wipe out the power for most of the United States. So think about it. There's a quick start of common practices on page 3. If we have any questions, just jump in. You may find it useful to start with one of 4 common ham profiles. And they're describing these profiles so that maybe one fits with the way you think you want to conduct yourself. So the first profile is emergency communication team member or personal emergency communications. And then it explains what that would be for operation through easily accessible repeaters or over very short ranges. You'll need a VHF, UHF dual band handheld radio with at least 50 memories and 3 to 5 watts output power. That sounds like a good start. A spare rechargeable battery pack, a pack that holds AA or AAA batteries, an automotive adapter, a desktop quick charger are must-have accessories for operations without repeaters or through distant repeaters while mobile or in remote areas. Add a VHF-UHF mobile radio with an output of 25 watts or more and a dual-band quarter-wave mobile whip antenna. Many hams have one of each of the types of radios. Sounds very good to me. Next one is beginning home HF operation. HF transceivers with 100 watts of output and a built-in antenna tuner make an excellent entry-level radio, and that's what I had. HF radios with VHF and even UHF coverage are available at higher cost. If the radio can't operate directly from AC power, you'll need an external DC power supply. A lot of these radios, they don't run on house current because they know that's not going to work. So the one that I have, and it's not working right now, so I'm going to say had, runs off 12 volts, so I had to procure a power supply that would give me 12 volts when plugged in. And, of course, when I'm in the car, I just hook it up. But, you know, even then, you have to think through it and have the things you need. Think logistics. I had to wire a connector that fit my radio where it would use the battery in my car. So I could take it out the car, but I also had to hook up an antenna of some kind. Remember we talked about what you have to have for a minimum radio? You have to have a transceiver so you can talk or listen. You have to have an antenna. And you have to have some way to power it. And you have to have microphones and speakers. That's minimal. Where are you going to put all that in your car? where are you going to use your radio? If you're using it at a desk all the time, then maybe you don't have to hook up your car, but you can't move it anywhere. And so you start thinking about these things, and it gets a little harder. A multi-band dipole is an excellent and inexpensive antenna. I used inverted Vs and dipoles almost exclusively, and they're right, they're cheap, if you have the room to put them up. With some compromise in performance, a multi-band ground independent vertical antenna is easy to set up and requires coaxial cable to connect the radio. You got to route that coax. You got to buy the coax. You got to, when you buy coax at a ham radio store, you don't buy this nice cable that's 25, 50, or 100 feet long. You measure how much you need, and you go and you buy a little extra, and you buy two connectors, and then you sit and you put the connectors on the ends of the wires, and then you get a cable that's long enough for what you need. To try Morse code, you need a code key or a paddle. To operate, you're using digital modes. Add a sound card data interface with cables made to connect to your computer. Then there's a casual, local, or regional operating. Start with a VHF mobile radio and output 25 watts. For mobile operations, add a dual-band quarter-wave mobile whip antenna, and they put chokes on the antenna or filters so that only certain signals get out the top or you're transmitting. You see a lot of VHF/UHF antennas. They'll handle both bands, and they might have one or two loading coils right in the middle of it. That's a filter so that the antenna is the right length to get a good signal out. For operation from AC power, power supply cable supplying the radio, specified current consumption is required. If you need more portability, add a VHF/UHF handheld as a second radio. I built one of my VHF/UHF radios in a milk crate, and that's what I take. And I'll set it up to be a repeater, a local repeater, and to output into the frequency that they're using on the event that I'm supporting. And I'll use my handheld just to get to that, and that radio is acting like a repeater, and it transmits over the main event support frequencies. Portable or mobile operating all bands. This type of operation is best supported with an all-band, all-mode, mobile-sized transceiver that covers the HF and VHF bands, plus the 70-centimeter band, which is your UHF. In some models, you'll need two types of antennas, a dual-band quarter-wave mobile whip antenna for 2 meters and 70 centimeters. There are also tri-band antennas that include 6 meters. And a mobile HF antenna, a permanent or magnetic mount with one or more interchangeable single-band HF whip antenna, is a good way to try operating from your vehicle. So there you go. An emergency communications team member or personal emergency communications. If you're going to do emergency communications, you need to be prepared and you need to practice. You could be a beginning home HF operator, so you just want to concentrate on HF going long distances. Well, set something up and then use it. Or a casual or local regional operating, and that's what you see a lot of times. Everybody's talking on a particular repeater because it's kind of fun to talk to everybody who lives in your local area. Maybe they live within a 30-mile radius of your town, whatever. And these are the guys, maybe they're in the club. And you talk to them every morning, so you begin to learn something about each one of them and what to say and what not to say. And as you just rag chew, which means you're just talking about nothing in particular except what comes up on the radio as you drive to work or you drive home from work. And then portable or mobile operating all bands. You just want to be able to get on the air in whatever band you want to talk on. That's good. So there are some common profiles. Any questions so far? The next thing to consider is, from where will you be operating? Radios are designed with sets of features that favor the types of use listed at the side of this page. And the types of operation they have in a little blue box on page 4, are base or fixed, a permanent location. So a base or fixed radio is, that's a particular type of radio, and only operates from one location. Maybe you set one of those up in your house, and if your spouse has a ham license also, then you have an instant way to go back home if they got it turned on and they're listening. There's several people that just like to listen to that all day. That's fine. A mobile, so you have a mobile inside your vehicle. Say base or fixed, mobile. It's in your vehicle. Portable, which is a temporary installation. So you can pick the radio up. You can go to a place, and as long as you have, you're not out in the rain, and you got a place to set up your antenna and a place to put your battery that you're going to use or however you're going to power it, you can set it up anywhere and work from that location. And lastly, a handheld, carried by hand, pocket or belt clip. So with those types, what are you going to be operating as? Then there's a ready, set, go here. Begin by reading this guide from start to finish. Even if you think you already have a good idea what radio you want, you might find some material that changes your thinking a little bit, possibly saving you some money or increasing your long-term satisfaction with the equipment you select. Once you finish, focus on the frequency bands, VHF, UHF, or HF, and type of operating base, mobile, portable, handheld. Then make your list of must-haves and nice-to-haves, useful features that aren't absolutely necessary. Armed with this catalog and a web browser, you're ready to start shopping or take in a ham fest, a ham radio flea market or convention. A blank form to help you compare different radios is available for downloading from the Buying Your First Radio web page that we talked about earlier. Then it starts talking about particular equipment, and there's a glossary there on page 5 that it'll answer any of the questions you might have about some term. And it goes over a few things. I haven't highlighted it, but I can give you some highlights here. The VHF, UHF bands above 30 megahertz are available to all classes of ham licensees and are widely used for local and regional contacts. The majority of activity uses FM voice on repeaters and simplex channels at the higher frequency segment of each band. The lowest frequency segments in each band are set aside for weak signal operating, where longer range contacts are made using single sideband voice and Morse code. Single sideband and Morse code offer better performance than FM. And if you think about it, you start fooling with the signal, the more energy that you're trying to mess with that signal with, the more energy it'll take. In between signals on a Morse code, there's nothing out there. It's not transmitting at all. And so you're using a lot less energy to send out whatever you're sending out. So if you up power and you send high power of Morse code, you're getting a lot further. For FM voice in an area with good repeater coverage, a handheld radio provides maximum flexibility in operating from home, a vehicle, or while on foot. And I've used my handheld in all three. The first radio I got was a handheld. And we have these nice, beautiful towers that are thousands of feet tall out west of the Denver area where I am. It's called the Front Range. It's this range of mountains. And there's repeaters on a lot of the places along those mountains. And the repeaters have 50 and 60-mile ranges out here, which might not be the terrain that you're used to. So I had a handheld, and I would ride on the bus with my antenna towards the mountains. I'd always pick a seat on the bus where I could have my antenna on the mountainside so I could hit any repeater I wanted, and I would talk on a repeater. and I had an earphone, and I would just talk quietly, but I talked right directly in the mic. When I got a vehicle, I started driving, I put a magnetic mount antenna on top of my roof of my vehicle, and I would talk through that same radio and hook it into the car's battery, whereas in the bus I would carry a small motorcycle battery that would last me for a week. And then I finally got enough money saved up to where I bought me a mobile radio, and I could talk that way. And then I started supporting events, and I could do some of the emergency stuff, but I worked into it slowly. If you're going to operate primarily from home, an all-mode radio, does that designate for fixed or base stations? This may be a better choice. While larger, more expensive than mobile and handheld radios, they also operate on single sideband and CW Morse code and offer better receiver performance, displays, and easier access to many controls and functions. Frequencies and modes. It starts going over all this stuff. We're nearing the last 10 minutes of our time, and I'd very much like to hear if anybody has any questions to ask.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is my first time to call in and listen in.
Yes, sir.
And you were referencing some type of a book. Where do I get this book, or what are you referring to?
I'm referring to the ARRL Ham Radio License Manual, 3rd edition, Level 1 Technician. And that's a lot to write down, but if you go to ARRL and look up the ham radio study books, it's there. You can also get it through Amazon. And it's the size of a sheet of paper. It's about 8 by 11 or 10 by 11, something like that. And it's chock full of stuff. And this one's good through June 30th, 2018. That means the question pool. All the information will still be there, but right now they're building a new question pool, and they'll institute it in July of 2018, and the questions will all be different. Right now you go take a test, a ham radio test, and you will, the questions are the same ones that come out of this book. And now, did I explain that enough, or do you need a repeat on anything?
I think you've explained it enough. I've just found the website, AARL, and I think I can explore to go where you're talking about.
Mm. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And chime in just whenever you have a question. Now, I heard one person mention that they'd like to know about costs. With the Bofangs, it used to be you were going to spend at least $200, and that is if you went to a ham fest and got a real good buy on a radio. That's kind of changed over the years. Now, with these Bofangs, you can actually get on the air for about $30-$40. With a little bit better handhelds, you can get on for about $70. Now, you're right down at the very bottom. It's kind of like the difference between, nobody wanted a Japanese. When I was young, nobody wanted Japanese stuff because it was built so poorly. Maybe China's that way now. I don't know. But some stuff from some places was built so poorly it wouldn't work very long. The Bofangs seem to be able to work just fine. Do they have as many bells and whistles? No. Are they easy to program? No, they're not. But you have some software now called Chirp, and I'll let you chase Chirp. But it'll handle a lot of radios, a lot of different radios, older radios and newer radios. And the Bofang UV5R is one of the ones that will handle, and I programmed mine with it. And it's a heck of a lot easier than trying to do it from the keypad. So you can get in as little as $70, an antenna to go on top of your car might cost you $30. I'm sorry, is there a question? Going further, maybe you want a mobile radio that's a little more powerful than what the Bofang is. It's a handheld. The Bofang is a handheld. That'll probably run you about between, you can get some single band radios for $150. But most of them dual band 300 plus. You can get one with UHF and VHF and UHF, VHF and HF capability, some HF capability for about $800 or $900. It all depends on how much you want to spend. You got to start looking at it. And that's why they put so much time into who you're going to be talking to, how you're going to use it, what type of station do you want, where are you at, what is your need, what is communications that you need. And I want to reinforce that. And I have to say, get with a club member, see what they're doing there, see how they talk to several club members. And ask them what they do and how they got involved and why they like their radio. That you will never find a ham that doesn't want to tell you about their radio and why they chose it. And it's all good information. I do not like Yaesu. It's a good radio, and I would highly recommend a Yaesu to anybody that wants to get into ham radio. But to me, they work backwards on how they work. I like ICOM because when I picked up the ICOM, without even reading the book, I could start doing things on it. And so that's just the way I went. It was easier to use. It turned out to be an excellent choice of radio. One of the guys that was my best friend, he got into ham radio, and he started helping me teach others. He went with Yaesu, and I said, oh, no, and I trash-talk his radio. He would trash-talk mine right back, and it was a lot of fun. We learned a lot about what the radios could do and couldn't do and how you did them. So it all depends. Okay, does anybody have any questions, any more questions before we wrap this up?
Yeah, this is KC3HVA. Now I understand why you gasped when I told you I bought a Yaesu. Anyway, just a general comment. If you're going to play, you have to have a football. You know, it doesn't have to be the best pro model or anything, but you do have to have a UHF, VHF capability and probably at least a computer software version for receiving HF stuff. That'll get you a long ways. But if you really want to be informed, you really want to be able to help people out, you want to be able to spread the information that's there, and you want to let people know if there's a problem coming maybe tomorrow, the next day, or where they can get food or where they can get medical supplies, all this sort of thing, you have to have a radio. You can't do it without. So I would suggest everybody think about what their requirements are, not just in the capability of the radio, but and what sorts of things they're going to need. Maybe they live right next to a canning company and they've got a gazillion cans of food, so you don't have to worry too much about food, but you need water, you know. All kinds of situations out there, and they all drive the system in a little bit different direction. So I would say please, please, please get yourself a radio and also get a license. This idea that you're going to jump in after things crash, everything's in the toilet, and you're going to be a superior ham radio operator. It just doesn't work that way. It's like anything else. You need practice, practice, practice. Over.
Excellent comments, Jan. And you made me think of something else. And that is that you don't have to have your license to own the radio. You don't have to give them your license, your call sign, or anything like that when you buy the radio. You could buy the radio, program it, and listen to it. As a matter of fact, that's a good strategy because the radio is relatively cheap. You can get a a Bofang UV5R for probably $30-$40, maybe $50. Program it up with the repeaters in your area, and all you're fine. Just don't transmit. If you don't transmit, you're not breaking any laws. You're doing anything you shouldn't have. And then you can, by listening, you can find out who the people you want to work with. Maybe the people on one repeater sound a lot more friendly to you than those on another repeater. Or maybe they sound more professional and you'd really like to learn from them. So if you can, get a radio and start listening. If you have a shortwave radio, you can, and let's see, they used to call them SWL, shortwave listener. There's no transmitter on it, but you can sit there and listen to broadcasts from the BBC and all around the world. Get a radio that will work, especially make sure it has single sideband. All right, we just about need to wrap it up. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to close it now. I really appreciate the input from all of y'all very much. And I hope to see you again next week. This is the NLA HamsNet. My name is Terry from Colorado. My call sign is KI0RE. And we will meet again. This Like This Net meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll welcome anybody that wants to get on and start talking a little bit about how to do this and bring any questions or anything you need. I appreciate the participation, and I hope that it serves you to help you get your ham license or at least start listening. And I guess I'll have to close the net. The net is now closed.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you very much.